blessings that you've given this family. Give us not only one good person to preach to us, but two brothers. So we thank you for Brad, and we'll turn it over to Brad now. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you. Wow. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Wow. I just feel like we need to just selah a little bit on the word that came this morning. Did you hear how much the Lord loves you? How much the Lord is for you? And then when you share your love with Him, how thankful He is. Was that incredible? Just the love that the Lord shared with us, and that we share our love with Him, and then in return, He's thankful. Wow. How good is our God? How good is our God? When we were worshiping this morning, I just also had a sense that He just wants you to know, the Lord wants you to know that He sees your heart. He sees your heart, and He's pleased with you. Be encouraged. The youngest to the oldest in this room, He sees your heart, and He knows you. I'm just really excited to see some people I've never seen before. This is awesome. And all of those who have been here when we've been here before, I love seeing your faces as well. Thank you for letting us come back and be with you this morning. Patty and I are grateful each time we get to come up here. Patty, you want to stand and say hi to everybody? This is awesome. Well, let's see. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that does is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. We pray, Lord, that it would illuminate our lives, that we would know how to walk even better. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the path you've put us on, and help us to not stumble, but help us to just walk step by step and just do it in obedience to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, here we go, everybody. Strap in. What happens when heaven collides with man's plans on earth? When God interrupts your life and messes with your destiny, when things don't work out quite the way you envisioned, whether you're 9 or 90. When I graduated from high school, I had a really good idea of what I wanted to be. Superman! No, just kidding. And what I wanted to do. I had had a great experience in high school, and I had a counselor who believed in me. She pointed me in the direction of Pullman, Washington, because the broadcast sequence of the communications program at Washington State University was second to none. You see, I had a vision. I had an epiphany, if you will. I was sure God wanted me to be a representative for Him in the world of television. I was sure God wanted me to do this. So this Seattle kid packed up his meager possessions in his parents' car and headed east of the Cascade Mountains in the fall of my freshman year. After the giant culture shock of seeing the rolling hills of the Palouse, I chose not to let that dissuade me. After all, my beloved high school counselor, who I still loved when we got to Pullman, wouldn't have steered me wrong, right? So I settled in and worked with an advisor to help me set out a four-year course that would prepare me for a broadcast career. My first semester was filled with general university requirements, you know, those beloved GURs, sciences, math, the liberal arts, those kinds of things, PE, that kind of stuff. But the second semester, that's when I was able to dabble in a couple of introductory broadcast courses. I was stoked. I was so grateful that my advisor had taken an interest and helped me navigate through the dizzying number of course options. I remember like it was yesterday. I was sitting in the third row of the lecture hall, my freshman year of my second semester, and I arrived at my broadcast class in the Murrow Communications building at WSU. I had my notebook and pen in hand. It was a bit chaotic and noisy, and there were people huddled near the platform, the head of the lecture hall. And, you know, us students, we were just going bananas because we were just, it was, class hadn't started yet, and we were just talking up a storm. And we were waiting for the professor to enter the lecture hall. Well, he never entered. But one of the people from the huddle group came and got our attention and said, "I'm sorry to bring this to your attention, but there's been a computer error, a computer glitch, if you will. Too many students have been admitted into these first two broadcast classes that I'd signed up for. Upperclassmen were given preferential treatment, and unfortunately, all freshmen were kicked out of the class. To pour salt in the wound, these two classes, which were prerequisites to all the other broadcast classes, wouldn't be offered for another year." And of course, I was paying for my own education and I was planning on being out in 4 years. So if I had continued that course and had to wait another year, it would have been at least five, almost 6 years for me to graduate. To say I was bummed was an understatement. I was crushed. Suddenly, I had no direction. I was, the rug had been pulled out. My reason for uprooting from all my friends in Seattle, coming to this Palouse country, this barren wasteland, over 300 miles from home, made no sense to me. I made an appointment with my advisor, and he apologized for not being able to do anything about the situation. However, he suggested that we substitute the two broadcast classes for two other communications classes with emphases on advertising and public relations. Reluctantly, I did so, and it set the direction for my entire career. These are a few of the ads that I did during my career for clients. Well, how about you? I can only imagine this room is filled with people who have stories similar to mine. You were headed one direction and life took you another way. Well, we're not alone. The events surrounding Christmas, the miracle birth of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, were anything but perfectly planned out man-made plans. This morning, we'll focus on the wild events that took place a year to a year and a half before the birth of Christ. Okay? We're 12 to 18 months before Jesus is born. And we'll be in Matthew and Luke this morning. My name is Luke. Let's start in Luke chapter 1. And starting in verse 5. You with me here, everybody? Here we go. These are familiar verses, but let's look at it from maybe a little bit different perspective this morning. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, scholars suggest that they both were anywhere from ages 60 to 70 years of age. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, participating in the burning of incense, which came at the conclusion of the sacrifices, was considered an especially prestigious task for a priest. In fact, a priest who had actually won this honor once could never be included in future lotteries, so that other priests had the opportunity to do it in the future. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him, Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Sorry, didn't want to move too much. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Now, can't you imagine Zechariah seeing an angel and him saying something like this? So, isn't this my lucky day? If this is considered such an honor, why am I at this very moment shaking in my boots? Of all the priests who could have been chosen to offer incense at the end of this particular sacrifice, it had to be me. None of my friends who got chosen before me ever told me they got visited by an angel. I'm toast! Well, welcome to a new direction and destiny for your life, Zechariah. There's been a slight change of plans. Verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. How would you like to have that kind of power? We do. We have access to that kind of power. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Well, come on. I mean, Zechariah is just a normal guy, right? Well, I mean, he's a faithful priest, and he's going about his priestly duties because he got picked for it, but then, boom! The angel Gabriel visits him on direct assignment from the throne room of God. And
What an incredibly encouraging word he gives to Zach. Your prayers have not only been heard, but at this moment, I'm announcing they have been answered. Even at your age, you and your wife are going to have an amazingly intimate time, and this time, it's going to bear fruit. Now, I can imagine Zechariah thinking, yeah, but wait a second, I've been praying this prayer for decades. And you're finally getting around to answering me now at my age? Anybody in here ever contend for something for a long time? Lesson from the life of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Keep contending. Never, ever give up. Keep contending. Now, I'm sure this isn't quite the way Zach thought life was going to go. He married his beloved Elizabeth, and they made all these plans to have a tribe of kids, serve in the priestly ministry, and enjoy life together. But here we are, and by childbearing years, they're old! Even though this is a total shock, and angel visitations are probably not in the priest's handbook, up to this point, everything is going reasonably well. But then Zechariah just can't receive what Gabriel has to say. He has to open his mouth. And everything changes. Verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Now, I got to admit, if I were Zechariah, and if I could have gotten up from my faceplant long enough to even look at the angel and then have the nerve to say something, anything, this isn't such a bad question. I mean, I'm sure it would have entered my mind as well. I mean, Zach probably asked the question in a respectful manner. After all, it isn't every day you get visited by an angel. In fact, never. So what happens next may have been because the angel had had bad pizza. Or he hadn't gotten his nap. Or he just didn't like people questioning his word. I mean, ever had a problem with someone like that? They always seem to question your word. Don't look at your spouse. Come on. And the angel answered him, verse 19, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Verse 21, and the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service had ended, he went to his home. So the time of priestly duties typically was a week long. We don't know when during that week Gabriel visited Zechariah, but he may have had a few more days to wrap things up before he went home. This gave him time to kind of wrap his head around what had just happened. Zechariah had gotten picked by Lot to burn incense after the sacrifices. Gabriel had visited him during the week with incredible news, news that would change the course of their lives and their bloodline forever. And when questioned, the angel zapped Zach dumb. Indeed, there's been a slight change of plans. Verse 24. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Wow. Is that beautiful or what? Zechariah and Elizabeth had a wonderful, intimate time together, and this time, eureka. Elizabeth is with child. And not just any child, ladies and gentlemen, a wild child called John the Baptist, who grew up eating locusts and wild honey, wearing wild camel's hair, and yelling to all who would hear, "Repent, prepare the way of the Lord." Now, 6 months after Elizabeth gets pregnant, bless his heart, God dispatches Gabriel again. Verse 28. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Let's set the scene here a little bit. Between the accounts of Matthew and Luke, we learn that Mary, who according to the culture of the day was 12 to 16 years old, she's just gotten engaged to Joseph, and just for fun, we'll refer to him as Joe. So, Joe and Mary are engaged. It's possible they had an engagement celebration with family and friends. And just like any other couple, they're anticipating their marriage, their honeymoon night, and life together as husband and wife. I can imagine with me, please, that probably everybody has a good time. They congratulate Joe and Mary and on their, you know, impending nuptial bliss, and Joe gives Mary a hug and a kiss, and he leaves, and she settles in at her parents' home to dream about the wonder and delight of her future with Joe. Enter a slight change of plans. Verse 28. And he, Gabriel, came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Whoa. Whoa. Mary is awakened by a presence in the room. It's this angel. She begins to freak out just like Zechariah did, and Gabriel drops the bomb on her. She's dreaming about her wedding and the dress and all the details, and Mary gets hit with an uppercut. Verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Well, now, doesn't this sound like Mary is questioning the angel? Remember the words of Zechariah? "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. This sounds pretty similar to me. So what happens to her? Verse 35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son." I delivered that good news too. "And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Might I suggest, for certain, Gabriel must have been in a much better mood than when he delivered the good news to Mary. He didn't take away her voice for 9 months. He didn't say, "What is it about you humans always questioning God's wisdom and his plans?" And to be sure, her response was incredible. But now, Mary faced another large challenge: telling Job. Can you imagine how that conversation went? Remember, she's now pregnant with a baby, and has nothing to do with her fiancé / future husband. Talk about a slight change of plans. If you will, let me speculate on how that conversation went. This is Mary, and this is Joe. You ready? "Joe, so much has happened since the other night at our engagement party. Oh, I know. I still can't believe it myself. My parents can't stop talking about it. Guys at the construction site," remember he was a carpenter, can't stop, you know, "give me a hard time, but I know they love me. They just know they're excited for me. They keep giving me a hard time, but you can tell they're excited everywhere I can. I just can't stop thinking about it. Joe, you don't understand. There's been a slight change of plans. I'm pregnant." "What did you say?" I got visited by an angel and now I'm pregnant." "Yeah, right. You got visited by an angel and now you're pregnant. Is this some kind of a sick joke?" "Well, that's what I asked. The other night at our party was so wonderful, and I fell asleep on the sofa thinking about you and me and our future together. And all of a sudden, out of a sound sleep, I'm awakened by a presence in the room. And it's this angel. And he said he was sent by God, and that God's going to fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah that talks about his son being born. Only he knows why, but God has chosen me to carry this divine life inside for the next 9 months. Then when I give birth, we're to become his earthly parents and raise him until he's fully grown." "You expect me to believe all that? I mean, Mary, you've always had a vivid imagination, but this one takes the cake. What I can't believe is how naive I was. I actually thought I was the only one. All you had to do was telling me you were seeing someone else. That's the least you could have done. And then to go through with the engagement? I knew you wouldn't believe me. See, I told you he wouldn't believe me. Hey, Hey, I didn't ask for this, you know. But if this is God's will for my life, then I'm willing. Another thing the angel said is that God is actually pleased with our intentions to be married. This is part of his plan for our lives. Why am I having a hard time believing all this? I'll tell you why. Because I can't believe God would ever send an angel to visit and bless a two-timer. So this is happening in real time, as crazy as it seems, but that's how life happens, right? In real time. I mean, what's Mary going to do? What's Joe going to do? Flip to Matthew 1, starting in verse 18, on the second part of that verse. When his mother, Mary, Jesus' mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, let me take some more literary license, but remain faithful to what we read in Matthew. Here goes, between the angel and Joe. Angel, Joe. You see, Joe, I'm just the messenger. Ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God has waited patiently to fulfill his plan between himself and his people. All man's efforts to win God's approval by living the right way have failed. He never planned to force people to love him and to serve him. He knew the only way human beings would learn to love him and each other was by showing them by example. So now he's willing to do that. Emmanuel, as was prophesied in Scripture thousands of years ago, meaning God with us, will be born of a virgin having been conceived by the Holy Spirit. The virgin he has chosen to carry and bear this child is Mary. When this baby is born 9 months from now, you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You mean to tell me that Mary is a virgin? And she and no man have ever, you know. That's right. The woman you thought she was is who she really is. That's why God has chosen her and you for this incredible assignment and destiny. What a day. I can't tell you how many times I've read these scripture verses and wondered about the prophecies and how they'd come about. But I never thought I'd ever have a part to play in them. I always thought they were so far out there, and they were, you know, he was going to use only people who were bigger than life. You're living proof. He uses very ordinary people. So So Joe has to go back and apologize to Mary for all the horrible things he said to her. And in verse 24, when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Imagine, guys, how that honeymoon night went. Something like this. Mary is with child, so she's probably fallen asleep already in the bed. So Joe gets up and he has a little talk with God. Lord, you own me free and clear. I realize I'm nothing without you. And almost from the beginning, since I was old enough to understand the decisions I made, I wanted to serve you. When you've spoken to me, either through your word or through the prophets or even an angel, I've tried to listen and obey. To be honest, tonight I'm counting the cost of all that. Through the joys of marriage, you give a husband and wife the most wonderful present we'll ever unwrap, the gift of a one-flesh union, spirit, soul, and body. Now, the spirit and soul parts are a wonderful blessing, and I'm gladly partaking. But what about the body part of the equation? I mean, when do I get to know Mary in the biblical sense? Do I really have to wait until your son is born? Couldn't you have waited until we were married for a while, then sent Gabriel with the good news? But by then she wouldn't have been a virgin. I gotta admit, out of all the details, the struggles, the sufferings we've been going through, this one ranks right up there for me. Oh well. I guess if I've waited this long, I can wait a little while longer. You know, one of the things I was looking forward to in being married was ultimately being a dad. But I was just thinking, it's tough enough being the parent of your own children, let alone the step-parent of the Son of God. So, you may have an idea of how this life thing is going to turn out. And things may be going according to plan. If so, congratulations. But if you're like most of us, including Zach and Liz, and Joe and Mary, and Brad and Patty, there have been and will continue to be slight changes of plans. And they're all designed to draw us closer to the Lord. But know this, the Lord is in charge. He knows exactly what He's doing and where each of us are at. And His ways are always better than our ways. Amen? And what is about to take place in your life could very well be the biggest blessing yet. Merry Christmas, everyone, and from our home to yours, much love. Thank you. Lord, thank you today for this, for your word. Lord, thank you that we've been able to enjoy your word this morning. Lord, thank you for the ultimate gift that you gave us and the ultimate sacrifice you made on our behalf to draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would be blessed today beyond their wildest imagination, and that we would all be drawn closer to you. And Lord, I pray that there would be those around us who would just look at our faces and say, what is it about you that you have joy? And that we can testify of the joy within us, Lord. Lord, bless everyone here and grant us a great week in you, in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.